games, gear, grills. Welcome to the Geek Grills Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 147 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills Podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm joined by my co-host September, also known as 9 of 12.
Greetings.
Spooky. The Jen, unfortunately, is traveling, so she wasn't able to join us tonight. I can talk. So it's just going to be me and Ember and me dropping things. So what have you been up to this week, Ember?
Well, it's been a couple of weeks now because we didn't make it last week. Sorry, everyone. But my husband and I have this thing where we go hiking on the weekend, and we usually go to brunch. Well, we were kind of broke, so we decided to make brunch. He had this lovely idea. And, you know, I can't just make bacon and eggs like a normal person. I got out my World of Warcraft cookbook, and I made... and my Leaves of the Last Home, in the Last Home cookbook. So I made Otik spicy potatoes from the Dragonlance world, and I made conjured mana buns from the World of Warcraft cookbook. This is the first time I've made any kind of raised cinnamon bun thing. And it was really good. There's a glaze on them that required heavy cream, and I didn't want to go buy it just for that. So I experimented and played with the recipe, and I used coffee creamer. We had like pumpkin spice flavor and a hazelnut flavor. So I did half and half, and it worked. I thought that Rob liked the hazelnuts. I thought it ended up with a weird chemically taste to me, but the pumpkin spice glaze on them was good. So Geeky Brunch was fun. The Balloon Fest happened here. I live in Statesville, North Carolina, and that's a big national balloon festival. And my husband's band played on the second stage. So that was fun. It was a little bit annoying. They gave the whole band 2 parking passes. So... like, the lead singer took one, and then the drummer, because he had the van full of equipment, took the other one. And Rob and I had to, in order to park for, and not pay for parking, had to drive to another town, to Troutman, park at the fairgrounds, and take a bus shuttle.
That's annoying.
Right? Oh, I gave. One of the organizers is, like, really nice, and I gave him such hell. I'm like, Arnold, are you kidding me? These are grown-ups you're hiring to play an event. This isn't like a bunch of kids and their moms taking them to the gig in the minivan. They have jobs. Like, we need to be able to park and walk over to the stage. And I'm sorry, I won't. I mean, everybody in the band should get, yeah, you're right. Like, yeah. So I've run into him in town since then. And like, whenever he sees me coming, he kind of backs off a little. But the bright side, he was like, you know what, though, I'm sorry. He's like, that cooler over there, drink anything you want in it, and you can have it all. And then we were leaving, and it was you know, beer. Not good beer, but it was full of beer. And when we were wrapping up the festival, it started to rain, and everybody was leaving. I was like, taking the rest of that beer home. Okay.
Okay.
All yours. Unfortunately, it's like a week later, and the drummer, because we were taking the shuttle, like all that beer that I packed up and put in the van is still in the drummer's van. Because drummers.
Because drummer.
Yep. Rob and I went to the haunted Statesville. It was a walking tour. Mm. I've never done anything like that. It's kind of like I want to do stuff like that, but it's touristy. But I should know the history of our town in that regard, right? And it was something to do. We need a little nice date night quality time. It was like $10, and it was almost 90 minutes of walking around town and hearing really cool little ghost stories and just tales of horror, some unfounded, some more founded than others. But I really liked it. I think I might want to volunteer and run it.
Yeah.
We'll actually do that next year, but they'd have to let me go extra. Because I'm no longer like read on my book like in 1842, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I want to wear my cloak or at least period garb, and I would need to be extra.
Yeah. So. I've been on two tours like that in my life. Well, and they were both when I was younger, and I couldn't really stand a lot of horror. For the longest time, I didn't know why I was so scared of everything. I figured it out later, but my mom really loved, ghost stories and things like that, and she would watch, Unsolved Mysteries. And that, to this day, that theme song gives me chills because I didn't like the narrator and the way that he talked. But she loved that kind of stuff. So we would compromise as we could go on ghost tours, but only during the day. So we did one in South Carolina, but it was also a carriage ride. So I got to see horses, and I love horses. They're my favorite animal. And then the other one was Savannah. Because you had to go to one in Savannah, but it was a walking tour during the day.
We were talking about that on the trip because the hostess had been to the Savannah one, and it's such a supposedly haunted city. Mm-hmm. After the show, I'm going to tell you a story that I heard on the trip that was or on the tour that was pretty neat. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who want to hear that, stay tuned later. I think that'll be a good after show couple of minutes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
No. I did not play Pokemon. I didn't even open the app. It was a little weird walking around downtown for an hour and a half not playing Pokemon. But I resisted. Stayed out of my phone.
Yep. Yeah. No. Well, that sounds like a lot
so
of
what'd
fun.
You do?
I've been doing a lot of crafting. I finished your dragon. I gotta ship him to you. He's all set. He's got his little horns and everything.
Yeah, I need a new picture. I didn't see a picture with the horns.
Well, you can see. You can cut anything extra out if you want him. Boop. There's
his
face.
I can't with the... I'm in the wrong thing with the... Okay.
Well...
Yeah. Squeeze.
There's his face. Okay. sorry for those of you that can't see me right now. And then I also finished my latest commission, which is a life-size parrot, a scarlet macaw, to be specific. He's sitting here next to me. That took
pirate-y.
A while. Very piratey. I even made him a little eye patch, but unfortunately, his head is shaped like a real parrot's, and so the eye patch doesn't stay on. if they want it to stay on, I can sew it down, but right now, it's just kind of sitting off to the side. I recorded our December episode of Glitter Dice because we're all so busy in November that we don't have time to get together and record. So we are ahead of schedule.
Yay, and I was watching Kelly play that unnamed goose game the other day.
Oh yeah, the goose game. Mm-hmm. I played that for our Extra Life stream. So both of us have played it now and we're waiting to see if Joey... what Joey thinks of it. It's really hilarious. And then earlier today, I was out with my mom at IKEA for her IKEA birthday because she got stuff in the mail. It was here, get free food and get $10 off for your purchase at IKEA. She was like, I want to go have an IKEA birthday. And we're like, okay. So me and her and my dad just had fun going around IKEA. I got some things like towels and things to organize in a court, pegboard, not a poster board, a pegboard. it's you're an adult when you're excited by organizing things.
Yeah.
I'm an adult.
Yeah, I got another bin for costumes for the Halloween Fairy project, and I was so excited to be working on the spreadsheet and cataloging them all. My sad little life.
But yeah, I've been mostly that and just being crafty. So that's what I've been up to. I'm a lot more tired than I should be. I guess that's probably because I also got food poisoning Friday. Yesterday. Ugh. I was recovering. It was not fun. It was mild because I've had really bad food poisoning before and it was not that. But it was still not fun. So that's probably why I'm a little tired. But I think that's us caught up caught up right now, so we can move on to the Geek Grapevine.
Goose team, assemble!
Geek Grills Grapevine.
So I was really happy to find this story. Because we know that, you know, like, dysfunctional gaming or gaming addiction has been added to... Whoops. Sorry.
We're both dropping things tonight.
The mental health lexicon recently, and it justifies a lot of, you know, the same kind of satanic panic that games get for video games. But according to research conducted by Oxford University in partnership with Cardiff, there's nothing clinically wrong with obsessive gamers. Rather than being negatively impacted by gaming itself, it is suggested that young people who engage in dysfunctional gaming may be doing so in a bid to escape underlying frustrations and wider psychosocial functioning issues. Duh. I mean, I really, knowing and being part of the gaming community for so many years and having children and seeing them deal with their own, you know, social pressures in real life versus online and the difference in those relationships, meeting people all over the world through games like World of Warcraft and online people like other podcasters who have a certain amount of social anxiety. And I feel like the same way that things like tabletop gaming can help you break out of your shell, you're creating a character and it lets you learn how to express yourself and be who you want to be and learn who that is. I very much feel like video games can be that kind of format. Now, of course, you would have to be careful if they're dysfunctionally gaming and becoming addicted, that there's a tilt there. But I think it can be a useful tool. And I was worried that when they put the addiction in the lexicon that it would be just written off as, you know, a bad thing. But they collected and analyzed data from 1,000 adolescents and an equal number of caregivers. And they completed, you know, questionnaires, and the caregivers rated the child's emotional and social health. And these kids played game daily, and about half the daily players reported symptoms of obsessive gaming, and daily players spent an average of 3 hours gaming each day. However, this study really noticed variations in gaming experience being linked to their adolescents' basic psychological needs for competence, autonomy, and social belonging, and whether they were being met in real life or if they were, you know, filling that in with the game. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, fantastic.
Yeah. That's cool. No, it's neat when they start doing, you know, science to and studying this kind of thing.
Yeah, so, instead of adding to the stigma. Mm-hmm. You know, just doing more studies instead of just letting the World Health Organization just make the call. And now all gamers are freaks in the basement again. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Oh. So what do you got?
Well, I do want to do the one I found, which was, you know, best movies set during Halloween, because this is kind of our spooky one. It's right before Halloween, and so we will do that, but I almost forgot, and I don't know how I almost forgot, today, one of the YouTubers that I'm subscribed to, Jacksepticeye, did a big charity live stream for the Arbor Day Foundation, where they're doing, it's hashtag team trees, and what they're doing is a bunch of YouTube creators are all collabing this to raise $20 million total, because each dollar plants a tree. So they want to plant 20 million trees by 2020. So his was the start of it. And I watched about 5 hours while I was crocheting away. I watched about 5 hours of his stream. And his goal was $150,000, and he had reached 120 by the time I stopped watching, because I had to go, you know, go see my parents. But I think he hit his goal. So that's 150,000 trees already.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's so cool. We'll definitely put the link in our show notes on our website.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the, I'll get the Arbor Day actual thing here. Thing. I'll get the Arbor Day thing. It's called a website. So there's that. and then the other, the kind of fun one I got is the best movies that take place at Halloween. There are some of the ones, there's some ones that I've heard of and some that I haven't heard of. So there's Night of Demons, Hocus Pocus. I'd never heard of Boys in the Trees, but apparently it's a really good one.
Yeah, I had not heard of that one either. There's a couple here I hadn't heard of.
It looks like it's an Aussie indie movie, so I'm not surprised that I...
Yeah, Halloween 3.
Yeah, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, Murder Party, which I actually have seen, which is strangely enough. It's a horror comedy. A group of my friends really, really love horror movies, and so for a while we were going over to their house like every Friday just to hang out. And almost every Friday they would just pick a horror movie and watch it. So Murder Party was one of them. So 2007 horror comedy. It's a pretty good one. Hollywood Nights is one that was apparently set on Halloween. Set on Halloween night. Neo Maniacs, which is not one I've heard of. Ernest Scared Stupid, which is one I have heard of. there's just a bunch. The Crow. I watched that ages ago.
I love The Crow. Of course, yeah. I'm old, so I also read the graphic novel like when it first came out.
And then another horror comedy called Gravy, which is not one I'd heard of, but it apparently follows cannibals. Like, the story of cannibals, and I'm like, well, I don't think that's one I would appreciate, so okay. But yeah, I just thought it was a little fun kind of thing, because we're, you know, right before Halloween.
Yeah.
Are there any, and Hocus Pocus, obviously, is like, that's gotta be the favorite among all of this whole list.
We were watching some spooky stuff. We went back and watched American Horror Story Hotel, you know, just to be in season. But then we fell off and we watched, we were watching Neon Evangelion finally. So, not spooky, but it's an anime that was recommended to us, I don't know, 15 years ago or some shit that we're finally getting around to.
Evangelion is just depressing. I don't like it.
I like sad things. Actually, the other one we watched was Your Name.
Oh, that's such a good one. I love
it's really. Oh, it's in my feels like, on that one.
It's so sweet and heart wrenching at the same time.
Yeah, my 18-year-old actually recommended that to me like last year, and I have loved. He's such a, like, 18-year-old dude, right? Gaming, screaming, troll in games, and, you know, he could be so toxic on purpose and thinks it's funny. And then he recommends anime to me, and he's all into these, like, beautiful, heart-wrenching stories that I end up crying, and...
Yeah, I do recommend for our listeners Your Name. It not only is it a really, really, really cool story, but it's beautiful. It's beautifully animated.
The art is out of this world. Fantastic.
So do recommend, and it's funny. Like it's really kind of heartwarming and funny as well. So
yeah, and the funny bits aren't that like standard anime like just. Stuff shooting out of their eyes, you know.
No. like, my friend was like, I want to tell you the premise, but it's going to make it sound creepy. And it's not creepy at all, I promise.
Right.
No. It was just so funny. But yeah, do recommend. So I think that's what we've got for the Grapevine. And I took a slight tangent there to do the Arbor Day thing. So now our main topic, again, because it is spooky time, we have decided to discuss the evolution of the vampire. So basically, I've got a couple of links here.
I was watching the video. I really liked the video from OSP that you linked.
Yes. OSP is short for Overly Sarcastic Productions. They are a YouTube channel that I adore. They have their two main people are Red, who is the girl, and Blue, who is the boy. Red does like stories and myths, and Blue does history. So she basically breaks down Dracula and why it is the kind of classic that it is. And the reason that I linked that is because Dracula was kind of the turning point for like the vampire image, when vampires kind of became characters. They became things that could be developed into characters rather than what they were before, which was just kind of creeping horror.
Yeah, it was that unholy, undead, just scary monster, and then Bram Stoker's Dracula inserted the seductive female vampires, the story of Dracula, like, moving to England and, yeah, giving it character and depth.
It injected a measure of humanity to the vampire itself. So even though the vampire, you know, Dracula is the villain, he had a measure of something you could relate to. And as she puts it very well in the video, is that it gave them character, and characters can be developed. So that's where kind of that, that's why I put that in there. But vampire, like, as a concept, came from a very old tradition of, it wasn't even like people that rose up to feed off of blood. It was just these spirits that fed off of their living relatives to, like, as like a curse. Vampirism was a curse at first. It wasn't like a person. Let me see if I can find down here. Okay. So it starts like way back in the ancient cultures of...
Oh, there's Mesopotamia.
The Greeks, yeah, Romans, there were like demons and spirits that were like precursors. And it wasn't really until like right before the Victorian era, like the 18th century, that those ideas kind of like became concrete enough to be put into their own like box, like this is what a vampire is. And actually, strangely enough, even though a lot of folks think vampire and they're like, oh, Dracula, Transylvania, the idea of the way that it solidified started in America, actually. And that's also why I linked the first episode of Lore, because the story that he tells about the family, this poor family, this guy, his wife dies to tuberculosis, and then one by one his children start dying to tuberculosis. But, like, he's either, like, he's immune or he has some sort of, like, immunity to it. Mm-hmm. Like, just whole family. Almost his whole family dies to tuberculosis, and it's so bad that he he himself is not quite convinced, but his neighbors start thinking that it's this evil spirit that has taken over the bodies of his wife and dead children that are feeding off of his living children and slowly killing them. And it was this story that eventually made its way over to Bram Stoker that he incorporated into Dracula.
Well, and there's a whole lot of different origins of different sorts of vampires. The Asian ones, I always thought that were, like, those are the most horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Women's heads detached with entrails and they keep them in jars. Like, holy shit. Leave it to the Asian culture to just keep the monster in their vampires, right?
Ooh. Yeah, of course.
I read a book some years ago that was really fabulous. It was called The Romeo Error. And that looks at another origin. Well, it's not the point of the book. The book is, it's kind of dry because it's examining the difference between death and goth. So it does look at early misunderstanding of decomposition. Like, they dig up corpses and some were not very decomposed and some were more decomposed, and they would look at this as evidence of vampire testing for death and, like, burying people and then, like, they're screaming and trying to get out. Things like that. And so, knowing the difference between death, which is, you know, the body, like, your heart stops and whatever, but then sometimes people come back, their heart starts or whatever. If they're not decomposing, you can't be sure they're dead yet. And that's the process of goth, when the cells start to actually break down. So it was really neat, but it, like, kind of, and it was so dry, textbooky, except it also kind of gave me nightmares because I'm not, that being buried alive thing, I've got a little Poe-esque thing there.
Yeah. No thanks.
And hearing about how many times that used to happen. And that was another origin.
They, like, if you go into the, like, the history of this is going to sound very morbid, but the history of, like, mortuary and people that, like, cared for those that had died, like, in the middle, I think it was in the Middle Ages, they actually had, like, or it may have been later than that, but they had a room, like a hovel, or not a hovel, but like a house where, it must have been later on in the century, but they had these houses where these caretakers, you would lay out the body, and then you would leave it there just in case they woke up. So you had these caretakers that are going around and stabbing these corpses with pins in their feet to make sure they are actually dead. And then they had a set number of days or until it started to decompose, and then they felt okay to bury them. Whereas, you know, there's also when they did suspect someone of being a vampire and they were able to, like, exhume them, you know, when bodies decompose, weird shit happens, okay? But they didn't understand that at the time. So, depending on what time of year it was, like, if it was cold, the body may not have decomposed as much. I think with the story of the gentleman whose family, like, his neighbors thought that he was being, they were being haunted by a vampire. Like, they dug up his daughter. It was either his daughter or his wife. And she actually had, like, fresh blood. It looked like fresh blood in her mouth. But that's just, that was just the body decomposing. But they didn't understand that.
Right.
So all it did was feed into the folklore and the stories that were surrounding this creature. And people thought they existed. I mean, I'm sure people still think they exist, but, like, it was a widely held belief that these creatures were real, and there were certain ways and things that you had to do to keep yourself safe and to make sure that your family members did not turn into a restless dead when they were buried. Like, you know, putting a stake through their heart.
Yeah.
A holly stake. A literal stake of holly to, like, keep them down. And there was ways to, like, you could take, I forget what it is, but you were supposed to, like, take off their feet or something and, like, cross bones across them There's a lot of weird.
Well, it's interesting how it kept alive. This mythology, like, it just keeps being reborn. It seems immutable compared to... Oh, damn it. Remind me to pick up my recyclables. A lot of monsters are static. They have one story, right? Doctors recommending drinking blood for people with porphyria. Mass hysteria. That's a big one. Another interesting story I read. And vampires and werewolves have been lent to with that kind of, like, a mass hysteria being fed by, oops, there was ergot in the bread and everyone's tripping. And they start, like, hanging people and staking people and shit because they're undead.
Yeah.
And then the people, I mean, you could be having a bad trip and think, oh no, a cat jumped over me while I was sleeping and now I must be a vampire and I have to go drink people's blood. I mean, sounds nuts, but people do crazy things and it just feeds into this legend of something people have already heard about. They've been told stories about.
And what do you think of the Bram Stoker's interpretation? Put out a lot of the what we think of now as, you know, the traditional vampire powers, but there was also other things in there as well. What do you think of those? Like, I thought the fresh rose stalk across the coffin to keep him inside the coffin was really cool.
And I like that kind of thing, and the running water.
Can't cross running water.
Is interesting to me, too. I find it more believable in a mythology than something like, although, you know, I'm not that audience, something like a crucifix, because that would, it would seem to be dependent on what the creature
believed.
Like, I don't know.
I actually read a story, and this was years and years ago, I can't remember what this short story was called, but it was a short story about these folks that basically they lived in a world where they were the ones that they weren't even hunters. They were just trying the protectors to keep people safe from like vampires and other creatures of the night. But one of them was was Jewish. And he like, in the story, he held such belief that his Star of David glowed and he, like, yelled at a creature to you know, be gone, and it piffed. And everybody was like, did you just tell him to go to hell? And he was like, okay, first of all, Jewish don't believe in hell. And secondly, my belief was strong. That is what saved me. So it was interesting because this particular writer was like, it's not about what religion it is. It's if you believe in it enough to protect you.
And which that's
interesting.
Yeah. And I could buy into that because the whole microcosm, macrocosm of when you're enacting anything spiritual or magical, it's your faith and strength that it is rooted in. I think the vampire romantic aspect, so taking over and being glorified and romanticized all these years, it boils down to a very simple, the love and death connection. Right? That's something that many philosophers have written a lot of stuff about over the years. Yeah. But, like, love and suffering and grief and then immortality being some kind of way to resurrect from that. Like, other monsters don't have that appeal, right? Of escaping your fear of death and being given that.
Yeah, they
I've never found it particularly appealing. I don't want to live forever. That sounds terrible.
Well, they went more into that specifically in the Dracula story a few years ago. They did a I don't even want to call it a remake because it wasn't really. It was a TV series that only got one season. That was I think it was called Dracula. But it was based off of the book, and they go into the fact that Dracula was Vlad Tepes. That they're like, nope, this was him. in that TV series, and that he had a wife, and his wife was killed, and then the Mina Harker character was reincarnated as, like, she was that's his wife reincarnated, and like they really kind of lean into that, like, love versus immortality versus, you know, what you don't remember, obviously, because it was a past life kind of thing. So,
yeah.
And that's just another kind of, like, I guess, evolution of that particular story. But, like, vampires in general is, you know, if you're immortal, do you search for the one you lost over and over again? Or do you move on, or do you become a monster? That kind of thing. It's an interesting concept that they've, you know, that writers and storytellers have gone into. It's another aspect of how the original, you know, creature has changed over the years into something that is more relatable.
Oh yeah, and I think Western culture has done a particularly stellar job at just the romanticizing of the vampire. It's kind of...
I'm convinced that a lot of a lot of Western culture are danger sexuals. they like anything that might hurt them, that might kill them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's gonna hurt everybody else except me. I'm the exception. It's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you're not, you don't get an exception. That's not how monsters work.
Yeah.
But it's nice to think about, and I think that's another thing with vampires. They get a pass on that. Because, you know, if you get them to turn you, then you're also immortal.
Oh, sorry, I'm going through the Wikipedia article again, just because I find it fascinating. There was a way to identify... There's ways to identify a vampire back in the day. One was to find the vampire's grave. Oh, no. One method of finding a vampire's grave involved leading a virgin boy through a graveyard or church grounds on a virgin stallion. The horse would supposedly balk at the grave in question, and it was generally a black horse was required. Although in Albania, it should be white. Except if you're in Albania, you need a white stallion.
Of course.
Yeah. And then holes appearing in the earth over a grave were taken as a sign of vampirism, or, you know, gophers. Could be gophers. I don't know. I shouldn't poke fun too much. I mean, these were times when folks didn't have, like, the education and the knowledge that we have nowadays, and a lot of the times all they knew was the world they lived in, you know, and...
Oh, but sometimes these were hucksters.
Sometimes they were hucksters,
you could totally be that snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have this white horse, and you wear your cloak, and you wave your arms around, and you pull out your fancy wooden box full of implements, and everyone believes you're an expert.
Oh, have you seen the old vampire hunting kits? Have you seen the old vampire hunting kits?
They exist. No.
It's fun.
They actually have an old Last Rites kit, actually, though.
There's one that I've seen... Let's see if I can find the link to it.
But oh, wait. Like, no, I take that back. I did see one of the Oddities and Curiosities show I went to.
Mm-hmm. It's like, there was stakes, and there was, like, vials to hold holy water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. And then I also thought it was interesting that,
doing the Balkan Dampier thing?
Yeah. That those... They came... Obviously, they came later. But Dampiers are supposed to be, like, half human, half vampire. So, obviously, somebody was writing fan fiction way early.
Exactly.
Albania again. Albania. Great place for vampires, apparently.
Apparently. And of course, I will, as always, folks, link all of these sources in our notes.
Yes. So, it's very interesting to me. I love the old folklore and how it changes over time.
Yeah, and I think vampires are one of the most storied, the most rebirthed, of any of the classic monsters. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the other ones are just retelling the same story over and over, but there's been a definite evolution in vampire lore.
Yeah.
And modernize it, and now they sparkle and shit.
That story doesn't exist. That's just so interesting because there are stories of vampire, or at least vampire-like creatures, all over. There's ones from Africa, Asia, and the one I was
talking
about.
Well, the concept
about...
of taking one thing and like putting it into another to give it life, I mean, seems pretty basic. I mean, from watering plants, right? From filling jugs. Like, I could see where there's a core human thing that you could be filled back up. And then, you know, if you bleed, I mean, they used to bleed people to get illnesses out of them, and then they tried, somebody reversed it and started doing transfusions, and sometimes it would kill people, and sometimes it would be miraculous.
Yeah. They didn't understand. That's the one thing about, and OSP goes into this in her video, that's one thing in Dracula you just kind of have to hand wave, is that there are blood transfusions everywhere because that was the new science. And they didn't understand how it worked, but it all worked out in Dracula, so it's fine. They all had the
they're
same
all really blood lucky. Type. They all had the same blood type.
Here it is. The case I was talking about in the Americas that got back to Bram Stoker and helped with his novel, Mercy Brown. They were in Rhode Island in 1892. After her mother, she died of tuberculosis, and then her brother started to get sick. This may have been a year or so later, maybe less than that. No, it was less than that, because it says 2 months. So her brother got sick. They thought she was coming back to feed off of him, or somebody convinced her father of that fact. They took her out of the tomb, cut out her heart, burned it to ashes, and then what they don't tell you in the Wikipedia article, but I know from my own hearing of the story, is they made the ashes into a tonic, and they made her brother drink it, because they thought that would cure him.
Sure, why not?
Yep.
That's how I feel about all homeopathic medicine right now. That's like early homeopathy.
Yep. They thought it would help.
Put a little of this in ya. It'll be fine.
Spoilers, it did not. but they were trying their best. If y'all have any thoughts about, you know, vampires, you like them, you hate them, you wish they went back to the old monsters of horror rather than the sparkly bad boys that you want to date, you can chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can also tweet us at geekgrills. So, Ember, what are you most anticipating right now?
Taking the costumes to the shelter tomorrow.
Yay!
I exceeded my goal. I had to buy a new bin. They give me back what they don't use each year. I've got people on board to pick up stuff on clearance, so I'm going to be researching another facility to add next year.
Yay.
I'm feeling very confident that I can add a third facility to my annual Halloween fairy project, and I am just over the moon about that. It going so well. Other than that,
so cool.
Trying to pull my own costume together, that's going to be kind of figuring out Harley from shit I got in my house right now, but... And how about you?
I have a Halloween concert coming up on... We're doing it on Tuesday rather than actually on Thursday, because we want everyone to come to the concert and then, you know, on Thursday they can go out and do their trick-or-treating. But we are all dressing up, so I'm going to be dressing up as a dragon. So that should be fun. And then the other thing I'm doing is making Christmas.
La la la.
Because I gotta
flowers this time.
Do with the making of the Christmas presents and get started with that, so they can all be done before I have to stress about it. So there's that.
It is good to get a jump on that. I should follow your lead. So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Sunday evenings. Our next one will be on November 3rd, hopefully at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You become a patron today at patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which can help other people find our podcast. Also, you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word. So where can we find you on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9of12 on Twitter and Twitch, and on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, and you can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob, that's TRUN00B, and you can find the Jen at the Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on twitch.tv/, I think it's just the Jen right now, isn't it? It's not the Jen Plays anymore.
No, it's just the Jen now.
Just the Jen. We need to tell her to fix that. It's on twitch.tv/thegen, and find everything she does at thegensays.com, because she owns it.
And don't forget to check out America's Next Top Podcaster. As far as I can tell, she's still in. I'm an episode of behind, and there's a double elimination in that one. But let's cross our fingers. I think she would have told us if she got eliminated. So please, I mean, go give them a listen.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Good game. GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.